weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home. Cambridge
105. The Gadget Guide.
We have a hot seat changeover, as it's known in the trade, and it's kind of just about worked out. Jess and Carly are heading next door to do stuff, and they will be back. Meanwhile, Rob and Lawrence are here next along on the conveyor belt, and it's Gadget Guide time.
Yes, evening, Julian. Nice to be back in the studio.
Yeah, Julian. You too. Hello, Lawrence. Hello, Rob.
So, we're talking all things encryption and data security. So we started speaking about this a few weeks back, but kind of got stuck before we got to encryption, shall we?
Yeah, we talked a lot about security and things you should do to look after your systems, but we never got to the encryption bit.
No, so we thought we'd come back to that. First of all, of course, we'll have a quick look back at the tech news over the last couple of weeks. And first up, it's the next version of Android. Now, these are always sort of dessert-flavoured. They started at A, B, C, D, and so on, and they've now got up to M.
Can you remember what they started with?
Oh, I don't remember the earliest ones. I remember things like Donut and Froyo and Cupcake.
I remember Kit Kat.
Kit Kat, of course, very well known.
Oh, Jelly Bean.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
So we've moved on from Lollipop. The next version of Android, Android version 6, will be called, drumroll,
Marshmallow.
Yeah.
it's not quite as exotic as sort of...
If your computer overheats, will it be toasted marshmallow?
Ooh. Oh, possibly. That's when you're sort of using it as a sat-nav or similar.
Anyway, the final developer preview kit is available for download right now. So, get building if you are an Android app developer.
And, of course, the first device is sort of in consumer land are going to be coming out in the autumn, aren't they? And then you get that sort of the gentle trickle as the manufacturers gradually roll it out to more and more.
Yeah, the rule of thumb is going to be all of the current phones that are shipping today and tablets from the big manufacturers will generally get it, they've said.
Okay, so I think going back about 6 months, a year or so, so things like the Nexus 5, I think, are due to get it.
Debatable on that one.
It depends. It depends a little bit on your manufacturer,
yes,
and sometimes your phone network as well.
Yeah.
Not to leave the Apple folks out of the news, though. They've got exciting and mysterious announcements. Because,
so of course, we will have to cover this on the next Gadget Guide,
yes,
on the 11th of September. The 9th of September, Apple are launching
something.
A new iPhone. Now, everyone knows.
They've actually.
Yes.
I don't think they've said, but it's kind of generally assumed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be here for the next Gadget Guide. I'll be disappointed. I won't be hearing about it.
Will you be having your new iPhone? Will you be queuing outside the stores?
I'll be in Amsterdam for the tech show, strangely enough.
Oh, so probably quite a lot of them there.
Okay.
So that's Apple and Android.
Interestingly, now, that previously all of their big press release events have been restricted to using Apple, macOS and Safari to watch the launch.
Oh, that's true, yes.
And they've now allowed Windows 10 users with Microsoft's Edge browser to watch.
Oh, bless them.
It'll be interesting, of course, to see whether that actually works, because, of course, some of the previous events have crashed and burned rather spectacularly on the live stream, haven't they?
Yes.
Which is possibly a testament to their popularity or maybe just the ability to run an online video site.
So from Apple to Amazon.
Yes, Amazon Underground. This is an interesting one. This is 100% free apps and games for Android.
So basically, Amazon have said that everyone's got fed up with an app claiming to be free, and then you suddenly have an in-app purchase. And, you know, it's this whole freemium thing, you know, suddenly there's ads in it, or, oh, you want to go to level 2, that'll be another thing.
You see,
pounds.
It's interesting, I don't mind if an app has an alternate version where you pay a little bit in order to get rid of the ads. That's fine. I think there's a difference between that and when you then discover, as you mentioned, that if in order to unlock features that you have to pay a little bit more, because that's not always made entirely clear. That's a bit mean.
So Amazon have decided that that's not on, and what they've done is they've said that they will work with the developers of apps that would have a paid component like that. Amazon will pick up the bill, and they will basically work out, based on the user's actual minutes used of the application, how much they will pay the developer. Which is very
interesting.
So if you've acquired an app from Amazon Underground and you've only used it for 5 minutes, the developer might get a couple of cents. or pennies, depending on which country they're in, whereas if you use that all the time, they're going to get a bit more. So it's up to the developers to come up with applications people will actually use.
And that'll help actually curating, because, of course, you have these enormous app stores now with thousands, well, millions of apps in them, most
of
which...
A lot of them are rubbish.
And not so good, so it should
hopefully... And rubbish that they charge for.
That's true.
So, yes, to find out
only because people
this,
are fool enough to pay for it.
Yeah, so go to amazon.co.uk/underground, and there you can read all about it. You can download the new Amazon app for Android. And it'll take you through all the process to install the app without using the Google Play Store. It guides you through the whole process.
And it's worth noting this is for Android phones as well as Amazon's own Fire OS.
Yes, so it'll work on all Amazon tablets, Amazon phones,
but
Android phones and Android tablets.
Yep.
Basically anything running Amazon's Fire OS or Android. And, yeah, like I said, it'll guide you through the whole process. And it is a new Amazon shopping cart store, so you can use the same app to shop on Amazon as well as accessing the Underground app store.
Well, from the retailers to social media, and I have to say I'm going to fall in the six out of seven human beings who don't use Facebook.
But you do, annually on your birthday.
Normally. Yeah, exactly. I feel sort of compelled to say thank you to everyone who wishes me happy birthday. But beyond that, I don't tend to be on there. But Facebook have celebrated their billion user day, and that's the sort of the SI version of billion, so 1,000 million, not 1,000,000,000. And that was this Monday. On average, 1 in 7 people
on the planet
are now on Facebook.
Used Facebook on Monday. There are more people. There are more than 1 billion users of Facebook, but 1 billion users actually used Facebook.
And is that caused just by numbers growing and growing and growing? And there wasn't anything in particular that made more people than might otherwise have done use Facebook on Monday?
I believe so, yes.
Not having a life.
It's just regular growth.
So were you one of those 1 in 7, Julian?
On Monday? I probably were. I've got a very bad habit, actually. I'm slowly becoming addicted, I think, to Facebook, you know, on a sort of like, I must check it today point of view. I didn't used to be like that.
Now, do you check email or Facebook first when you grab your phone in the morning?
Oh, email, obviously.
Yes.
It varies, and they're saying that now the newer generation will check Facebook and social media before they check email.
Because email's becoming less important, isn't it, as you get older?
It's still important, but it's changed its...
As you get younger, you know what I mean.
You know, those of us who grew up with email in day one of email, email was seen as the immediate communication. Now, social media networks are quicker than email.
The problem is everybody has email, generally speaking.
Yes.
Whereas some people, you've got to remember, right, this person gets best to get in touch with them on Facebook, or no, this person direct message on Twitter, or this person's WhatsApp, and that's not helpful.
No.
Yeah, and it won't happen, I don't think, anytime soon, but if you could get that interoperability so that I can be on any of them...
Some of that's been helped a little bit by the phone manufacturers who've customised the operating system, and this is mainly in the Android world, where the likes of Samsung and... HTC, LG and so on have skinned it and put a better contact manager in so that when I look at the Julian Clover contact, I can see your Facebook, your Twitter, your email, your WhatsApp, and
it unifies the person.
It starts to give me one view on you, and I just go, I want to send a message to Julian. It works out which one you're online with and sends you the message.
Oh, I like that. That sounds a good plan.
So just finally, before we go to the travel, not leaving Microsoft out, because we've talked about Apple and Android and Amazon. Microsoft heading further down the alphabet. Their new digital assistant, so this is their version of Siri, if you like, Cortana.
Anyone who's played Halo will know the in-joke.
A little bit of a guarded reference there. Cortana is now going to be available, it's in public beta now, for Android. So no longer is it just limited to Windows phones. If you want to play with Cortana, the Microsoft's version of Siri, go grab that now.
Of course, if you installed Windows 10, maybe you'll have discovered Cortana. It now sits on your taskbar.
And what happens if you ask Siri to download Cortana for you? We could try that, couldn't we?
That might be... And ask Cortana if she knows Siri.
Let's do that off air, and then we'll see. If it's funny, we'll play it in a moment. It's a Gadget Guide with Rob and with Lawrence, and we are on the subject of encryption tonight.
Yes.
So I suppose starting with, what is encryption?
Yeah, so the idea here is quite simple as a concept. It's that you make your computer or some of the files on it not able to be read by someone who's not allowed to.
So I suppose extend this beyond computer. It also covers things like your USB sticks and also your phone.
Yes. So the idea is that if I lose my phone, if I leave it on the train or the bus, and someone else comes along and picks it up, it means that they can't, unless they know my passcode or my PIN number or my pattern or whatever, however it is that you lock your phone, no matter what they do, they can't get in, and they, more importantly, they can't get the data. So normally you can sort of do a complete factory reset on a lot of devices, so they can still walk away with a nice shiny new phone, but they can't get at all of your personal information.
Yeah, so they're not going to be able to get to your Facebook details, your email. More importantly now, with phones starting to do things like payments,
yes, your online
they can't
banking.
Get to your banking stuff. So I know that the Apple world has now got Apple Pay, and that's coming soon for Android with Google Wallet and Samsung Pay.
There's also an ever-increasing number of applications. In fact, we had a guy who's doing a local one here in Cambridge, applications which you use to pay for things.
Yes. And of course, from a business point of view, not so much necessarily on your phones, although you maybe got confidential business emails. But for example, your company's intellectual property. If you've got designs for products, if you've got source code for software, that is incredibly valuable stuff. And Apple are absolutely renowned for the lengths that they go to keep their new product design secret. And they're not the only ones. If you're designing a new product, if you're doing some research in the scientific industry and you're hoping to publish a novel idea, if someone else gets that and publishes it first, you lose it.
Yeah. So you've got to think about the fact that who could use my information on my device, be it a PC or a phone, and what could they do with it that would hurt me if, you know, they had access to it? Obviously, the banking information is the thing that we'd all know straight away, because that would hurt us in our pocket. But as Rob said, you know, company information is vital and important. But you think about other information you might have in your personal capacity. You might have a scan of your passport. You might have some information about your insurance policies. And you know, all that sort of information can be used for the identity fraud problem.
So in terms of how you actually go about it, there's two different methods, and this is talking about more about desktop and laptop computers rather than mobile phones to start with. A lot of mobile phones just have it kind of for free nowadays. Both Apple and Android phones now just have full device encryption built in, as long as you have a passcode set. But on your computer, on your laptop or on your PC, you can either just choose some bits to protect, so maybe your documents folder, or maybe your sort of collection of particularly sensitive documents.
Your email folder and things like that, yes.
Or you can protect the whole of the hard disk or the whole of the storage device in your computer.
So that's full disk encryption. Now, what happens with that is the system that's going to do the encryption puts a small operating system right at the front of your disk that comes before your Linux or your Windows or whatever operating system you've got on the PC. So when you turn the computer on, it says, right, what's your password? Okay, that's the first thing you get asked. That whole operating system is encrypted so that you can't take the disk out of the machine and copy that information off and get access to it.
I found that to my cost when I think I told the story. I think I told it on air. I changed the password on my laptop, and not realizing that I also needed the password to get into it, and I couldn't get the password from another device because I hadn't been on my own network, so it hadn't synced. So all of that added together, and basically it took me about 48 hours to get in.
And this is a big thing in security, is that generally speaking, as you trade off more security, you trade that off against more risk of losing access yourself. So as you make it harder for someone else to get in, you make it harder for you to get in if you forget something. So, for example, the more means you have of resetting your password if you forget it, the more means an attacker has to reset your password if they're trying to attack you.
But those resets had failed. The old security question. They didn't recognise the name of my favourite school teacher.
Exactly. And so that is worth bearing in mind. It's only as strong as the least secure of those things. So, you know, don't use your mother's maiden name, because that's really easy to get at.
Use your mother's mother.
Or something like that. Yes, exactly.
Make up a word. Anyway, so that's full disk encryption.
Only four letters. That'd be really difficult for me.
That's the full disk encryption, or encrypting just folders. The thing to look at when you're buying a new PC is look for something that says it's got a trusted platform module.
And that's pretty much true of anything nowadays.
Pretty much the newer ones. And also secure boot. That will allow you to do this whole full disk encryption system. Windows 8 onwards, or 8.1 onwards, so including Windows 10, now has full disk encryption built into the operating system. You can turn it on. It stores your encryption keys in your Microsoft Live account. So the caveat on that is that, yes, Microsoft could release the keys to law enforcement if they are requested to.
I think that still needs access to your password to a degree. So do watch out for that. That's called BitLocker. Is the Microsoft thing, and there is an equivalent on if you're a MacBook user, there is an equivalent full disk encryption.
There is, and I can't for the life of me remember what it's called, but it's there in the central settings.
Exactly. So with both Windows and Mac OS X, you just get that for free. There are some third-party tools as well. For example, ESET, one of the antivirus vendors, they make a full disk encryption system as well, I think.
Theirs is called Deslock and Deslock Plus. Those are pretty good. And yeah, there are lots of other tools out there that will do it. Lastly, on USB sticks, we all are used to USB flash drives and carrying data around. I mean, we use them in the studio here. The problem is, you lose that. You can lose anywhere from 4 gigs and up to, well, now you can get 128, 256 gig sticks. That's a lot of information to lose on that stick, and it's easy to fall out your pocket. So there are encrypted sticks available. The worry is if you use a software-based one, is it might not work in a Mac if you use in Windows, or it might well work in Linux. So go for one that is a hardware-based encryption. These ones have got a little pin pad on them, so you actually key in a pin number on the actual USB stick before you plug it in. It then activates the USB stick and makes it available. So there's no software involved on the PC, which means you can also use them in devices like phones and whatnot. They are a bit more expensive. Just Google a DataSure, DataSHUR.
And it is worth doing your research on these, because they are not all made equal. Some of them you sort of put in a four-digit pin number and they go and do it very, very trivially. Equally, an attacker can go in and break it very quickly. Yeah. So just because it says it needs a pin number.
You're looking at spending, for something reputable, probably £40-odd pounds for a 4-gig stick. £80 for a 16 gig stick. That's then going to have industry certifications for being government, or even these days, healthcare provider encryption friendly. So, you know, the likes of the NHS would be using these sort of things.
And just finally, if you're just looking to encrypt a few folders, again, there's a load of tools out there to do that. TrueCrypt is a nice free one. Again, third parties from the antivirus vendors, Deslock Plus from ESET will do it. And if you're on Windows, if you're on the professional editions of Windows, there's BitLocker to go, is Microsoft's solution. So lots of options out there, and lots of ways you can keep your data safe.
Thank you very much, guys. Podcast coming up across the weekend at some point. And Tim, we'll see you here in 2 weeks' time.
Thanks, Julian.